Where did I put the theme?
Oh, boy. This is the first time I've ever lost the theme to brain damage, but we're going to find it here because I just had it in my hands. We're starting off the show a little bit differently today because, well, we just believe in starting the show differently each time. This could be it over here. Yes, this is it. This is the theme to brain damage here on WUSB in Stony Brook.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Brain damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
And a very good evening to one and all. The program is Brain Damage. I'm Eric Corley with you up until midnight. And what a day it's been around here. What with football? That was a football game just now, wasn't it? I think so. And all kinds of other fun things going on around here. It's been hectic. That's the way we like it here, though. It's best radio comes from those hectic moments when you don't know just quite what's going on. I just ran back up here in case I sound a little breathless from the hard luck deli downstairs. The reason I call it that is because they never seem to have what it is I'm looking for. Because I'm coming down with what is probably going to be the worst cold of my life because of being in Shea Stadium for 2 days in the rain. All I wanted was just a little bit of orange juice, just a little bit of vitamin C to sort of make a symbolic gesture, if you will, to make things a little bit better, but no, they couldn't have that. They've got beer, they've got orange drink, orange champagne, orange beverages, orange everything, but nothing with any value whatsoever. So, if I sound a bit edgy tonight, you'll understand why. I like to get my way. When I don't get my way, sometimes I get a little unreasonable. That's just the way things are. But I do have lots of interesting stories to tell about this great event, our national pastime. For some reason, though, everyone seems to be calling it the NLCS. I've never known it to be called that before. Maybe I've been asleep for the last 20 years or something, but I always called it the playoffs. Now everyone's going around saying, hey, are you watching the NLCS, National League Championship Series? What, are you stupid? Don't you know what that means? Are we going to call the World Series the WS now? I mean, George Orwell was right, wasn't he? Newspeak, that's what it is. NLCS. Give me a break. I went to a baseball game. Saw a bunch of people get wet. And was happy to be one of them. But now I'm going to have to pay the price, and well, I guess it's just that kind of thing you have to do every now and then to just prove how stupid you can be. Let me open up this whatever this junk is I got. Let's see what it is. It's called. It's 100% natural, if that's any consolation. So's something we can't say on the air. I can't say that brand name, can I? Oh, it's a natural juice sparkler. It's got no additives, no preservatives, no added sugar or fructose. No artificial sweeteners, no color, no caffeine, no vitamins, no nothing. No nothing at all. It's just liquid. Well, I guess that's good enough. Ah, at least it's got a screw-on cap. That's one thing it's got. Well, oh my God. Well, it's also got a temper, and it's squirting all over the place now. I don't suppose there's a napkin around here anyway. So wipe it up with a paper bag. If there's anyone listening that cares about the equipment here, just remember what a powerful tool radio can be and how you can make people think things are happening that aren't really happening and just pretend that it's not really happening. This is a bad day. Well, let's why don't we recap this NLCS to start with, and then I can tell you my personal remembrances of it. Yes, I think that would be best. And afterwards I can put the story down here and soak this up. In case you were in a coma or something and you didn't know what was going on today, the Mets were playing the Dodgers in a rain-soaked stadium. And I'll get to the reason why in a little while. The New York Mets, though, rallied for 5 runs in the 8th inning, and they defeated Los Angeles 8-4 runs in Game 3 of the National League playoffs. That's the way you should say it. Oro Hershiser started for the Dodgers, while Ron Darling got the call for the Mets. Los Angeles scored first with 2 runs in the 2nd, while I was still parking my car, and that was on 1 hit. Another run in the 3rd staked them to a 3-0 lead. I don't know about phraseology here. Associated Press sometimes gets a bit poetic. The Mets scored a run in the bottom of the 3rd and tied the game with 2 runs in the 6th. The Dodgers regained the lead with a run in the top of the 8th and scored when Mets reliever Randy Myers walked pinch hitter. I guess that's some kind of country that he comes from. I don't know. It must be Phoenician. Well, he walked a pinch hitter, Mike Sharpperson. He's a sharp person, all right, yes. With the bases loaded in the bottom of the 8th, with 2 out, Wally Backman. Pinch hitter. Oh, thank you very much. Person with the pen, thank you very much. Not a pinch hitter. Sorry to all you Phoenicians out there I've offended. Pinch hitter. Mike Sharpperson. I assume that's correct. Anyway, getting on with this. In the bottom of the 8th with 2 out, Wally Backman. So my imagination is everybody seemed to have a funny name in this game. Wally Backman doubled home 2 runs, followed by a run-scoring single by Mookie Wilson. No, it's not me. Keith Hernandez drove in a run with a bases-loaded walk, capped by a Darryl Strawberry double that drove in the final 2 runs of the game. And he ended up with 3 runs driven in on 3 hits. Myers, the 3rd of 4 Mets pitchers, got the win, while it's the kind of name you don't want to mess up, spelled with a J and everything. Alejandro Pina. I'm sure everyone says it wrong anyway, so I'm trying to pronounce it right. Al, I'll just call you that. The 3rd of 5 L.A. pitchers. I guess I should read the sentence over again. Myers, the 3rd of 4 Mets pitchers, got the win, while Al Pina, the 3rd of 5 L.A. pitchers, took the loss. It was a make-up game from last night's rainout played in a steady cold mist in New York. Thank you, Associated Press, for that one sentence, which will probably explain my death. Yes, it all started a couple of weeks ago when I learned that I was able to obtain playoff tickets. A friend of mine had somehow managed to get me a bunch of playoff tickets, and even before the final papers had been signed and the deals had been struck and envoys sent back and forth, there were already claims on these tickets. People already had rights to them before I even bought them, so I bought these tickets, but it was with the understanding that I give a few, or actually 2, to another person and have 2 left over for myself. It's complicated, and it's still not over, but what it boiled down to was tickets for last night's game, the first one at Shea Stadium, Game 3, scheduled to start at 8 o'clock. And boy, was I into it. Was I into going to see a playoff game? I'd never been to a playoff game. I haven't been to a baseball game in maybe 10 years. And it wasn't a bad thing to do when I was a kid. You know, I remember going in the daytime, never to a playoff, though. You know, just a regular season, watching mediocre teams. But this, a playoff. Of course, it's quite a bit more expensive, too. I'd forgotten about that. But I figured, you know, it'd make me the first person on my block to actually be able to do something elite like this. So naturally, I was a bit concerned yesterday when I was driving in and I noticed raindrops on my windshield. Something that the weather people never seem to have mentioned. They would say cloudy, temperatures going down into the 40s. But they never said the word rain. And there's a reason for that. Because if you say the word rain, it's admitting that something could go wrong. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to get people thinking in a negative sort of way. You just want to sucker them all into it and then surprise them. Which is exactly what happened. By the time I got there, of course, it was raining quite hard. Actually, let me back up a little bit. I was supposed to meet somebody in New York and give them the two tickets that I had promised them. But for some reason, and maybe it's because they had advance knowledge of what was going to happen, they never showed up. So by the time I got out to Shea Stadium, not only was I starting to get wet, but I also had two extra tickets, and I had to get rid of them. And that's something I never thought would be a problem. Having tickets to a playoff game. I figured maybe, you know, I could get rich or something. This could be a turning point in my life. This could be a savings fund for my kids in the future or something. Who knows how it could start, but it could start with that. Anyway, I met the person who did show up, who, by the way, does a radio show here, Jim Ross and Bluegrass Show. Jim said a few things to me in the past. Never make fun of bluegrass music was one of them. Try to avoid having the famous USB water fights while he was on the air. Wednesday nights from 6:30 to 8:30. You won't hear water fights then. And the other thing he said to me was, if you ever by chance get a playoff ticket, let me know. And so I did have a playoff ticket. I did let him know, and we got together last night to see this game, and boy, were we into it. Of course, we had to dress for the weather. It was cold, and it was rather misty. Didn't want to say raining. It was misty and wettish. But before we could go in, we had to get rid of these two tickets. Because once you're in, you can't sell the tickets. A lot of people make that mistake. Can't sell the tickets when you're inside the stadium. Uh-uh. Nobody falls for that anymore. So, we had to sort of walk around the stadium a little bit and get a feel for what people were selling tickets for. And let me just point out here that I didn't really want to sell these things for a lot of money. I just wanted to get rid of them. I wasn't going to sell them to this person in the city and make more money from them. I was just going to get what I paid for them. I just didn't want to lose anything, that's all. I just didn't want to lose any money on these tickets. I just wanted to give them to somebody and have them give me something back and be done with it. Well, guess what? For some reason, and probably the first time in recorded history, playoff tickets were going for less than what they were sold for. Nobody could understand it, and they weren't selling either. Never in my life have I pitied scalpers, but you should have seen the expressions on their faces last night as they were walking around in the rain. These soaking wet scalpers looking pathetic, trying to get rid of their tickets. And maybe they were crying, or maybe it was just the water on their face, but oh, I almost bought a ticket. That's how bad it was. I had four tickets, and I almost bought another one. God, I look so pathetic. But then I realized I was just as pathetic as they were, and me and Jim tried to sell those two tickets to anybody that would take them. And they weren't bad seats either. They were in the loge, for God's sake. Weren't up in the bleachers or the high altitude somewhere. And so we walked around and around and around. In fact, we even consulted with some policemen to find out just how legal this was. You know, we didn't want to get in trouble. And they said if you sell it at the face value of the ticket, it's not illegal. And so hearing that from a cop made me feel, you know, made me feel pretty good. It made me feel like at least I wasn't going to be spending the night in jail. Although that would probably have been more comfortable than where we did end up. And so after about 20 minutes of pacing around and getting kind of panicky, we finally found somebody who expressed an interest in the tickets. And after a bit of commotion, because the price he originally offered us was not the price he actually wanted to give us, and he didn't offer us anything really above what we paid for the what I paid for the tickets, he first offered it, and then we agreed to it, and then he sort of continued negotiating even after we had made the deal. And that's not kosher. That's not the way you do things. And We tried to explain that to him in no uncertain terms. And I guess we were about halfway successful. I may have lost maybe $2 on this deal, but got rid of the damn things. Figured the guy was probably going to resell them anyway, or try to, and the only consolation I got out of the whole deal was thinking, well, maybe this guy's going to be stuck with those tickets and he won't be able to get rid of them. And he'll take the loss for being such a jerk trying to get a few extra bucks out of us at the last minute. So that was that. Had our two tickets, went inside, Shea Stadium, Friday night. First home game of the playoffs. Series all tied up, 1-1. And wasn't exactly a perfect day for, or a perfect night for baseball. It was in the 40s. You could see the rain on the tarp. People just kind of standing around. The stands were empty. You could not see people in the stands because it was so wet. And our seats were all the way in the back of the loge. Now, ordinarily, I would complain being back there, but when you're in the loge, you're underneath the little roof, and we weren't getting wet. And everybody was back there, even people who had seats in the front. They snuck back so that they could stay dry. It was pretty incredible. But we were in the very, very, very back row, which was also good because we could stand up, and nobody would shout at us. Of course, if we stood up, we couldn't see the field because the roof would come down in front of us. But that's just a technicality. And the night almost got a lot worse. Because it was at that moment that Jim decided to pay me for the tickets, that or the ticket that I gave him. And he said, here, Eric, and he gave me a $20 bill. Now, it may never be known for sure just what went wrong here. Whether I didn't reach out quickly enough to take the $20 bill, or whether Jim perhaps let go of the $20 bill 1 or 2 seconds sooner than he should have. All I know is at that particular moment in time, a gust of wind, as such I have never seen before or felt, entered our section, which was section 17, if I'm not mistaken, and carried our $20 bill away. Out of our hands, out of our clutches, away from our destiny. Now, as I said, we were in the back row. What is behind the last seat in the back row? A gate. A fence. An object that stopped the $20 bill from going any further, but within any second, that $20 bill could easily have fallen through the grating, which was pretty big, and fluttered down to the milling throngs who were still coming into the stadium. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Queens before, but if you've ever dropped a $20 bill in the middle of a throng in Queens, and I'm not saying anything about Shea Stadium, I'm just saying in Queens. I know how Shea Stadium people get offended. If you drop a $20 bill in a throng anywhere in Queens and then walk around afterwards and ask anyone if they've seen a $20 bill, well, let's just say you won't get all the facts. And that went through our heads as we saw that $20 bill just sort of suspended there. And it wasn't suspended any longer than maybe an eighth of a second before we both lunged for it. And Jim said he was prepared to go right over that gate to get it. And I don't doubt it. We took advantage of our good fortune, carefully, slowly peeled the thing off the gate. Jim said, here, Eric. I said, thank you, Jim. Let's sit down. Let's calm down. Let's not think about this anymore, because we had already been through a lot trying to get rid of those tickets, and now we had almost had a $20 bill taken right out from under us. Let's just sit down and watch baseball as it should be played. Well, it was after 8 o'clock. And starting time was 8 o'clock, as I may have noted. The game did not start on time. At 8:30, we noticed this and started talking to the people around us. Bought a beer, got a hot dog, and that reminds me. When I was a kid, and I went to the stadium, and I bought hot dogs, I don't remember them tasting the way they do now. I remember them, you know, ballpark franks, right? Don't they mean something? Aren't they something special, you know, like Christmas or something? I had this thing over 24 hours ago, and it's still circulating inside me, and I'm still thinking about it. That's not the way they're supposed to be. They're supposed to crunch, you know, not melt in your mouth. I don't know. But that was only one negative part of the whole night. The big negative part, of course, was that, they didn't play the game. We stayed there for about 2 hours, and then at 9:30, and by the time 9:30 had come around, we had both managed to get to the very front row of the stadium, because so few people were there. And that in itself was a kick, because I didn't mind getting wet, and it wasn't raining all that hard. It was kind of a mist that seemed to always be in the air. It wasn't pouring at any point, so I had no problem just hanging out in the front row. Sort of felt like I was a part of the action, even though the only action on the field were policemen walking back and forth, occasional unidentified person in a uniform running somewhere. And every so often, every 25 minutes or so, this guy in a suit would come out from behind home plate. And whenever he came out, all of these press people from all over the place would suddenly come running and take his picture and run alongside him and fall over backwards. It was incredible. It was silly, but incredible. And I watched that and thought, now there's a guy who does something important. Didn't quite know what he did, but I knew he did something important. As it turned out, he's the one that said, "Go home, everybody. This game's not going to be played tonight." And he said that at 9:30. And, gosh, we were crushed. Not so much by the fact that the game was canceled, but they told us to come back at 12 o'clock today. And all the people that were supposed to come today had to come tomorrow. And the people that were going to come tomorrow have to come on Monday. Everybody got moved up a day. That's the way it works in playoffs. They don't reschedule the game to another day. They just move everybody up. On the ticket, it doesn't give a date. It just gives the game number. So whatever day that game number is played is the day that you're supposed to show up. But why 12 o'clock? Seems kind of an odd time to have a baseball game, don't you think? 12 noon? I've never heard of a baseball game starting at that time, unless maybe you're on the West Coast and your team is on the East Coast, then those kind of things happen. But, I mean, if you're on the West Coast now, that means the game starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. Who has ever watched a baseball game at 9 o'clock in the morning? Didn't seem right. And here it was, practically 10 o'clock at night, and they were telling me to go home, go to sleep, come back the next day, and resume. It just seemed so silly. And then I woke up this morning, looked out the window, and it was windy, it was raining. Very, very ominous indeed. And I said, they're not going to play a game today. This is crazy. I've driven my car into the city maybe 3 times this week already. I'm not going to do it again. Because my car is starting to get upset at me. I think it lost a cylinder or something. It's just, it's shaking now like a World War II fighter. Getting a little worse every time. And what would I do if I drove all the way out there? Would I just drive all the way back again when they said, when that guy with the suit came out and waved his hands again, we'd all go home and come back the next day? At some point, this whole thing stopped being a recreational event and started to resemble work, where you come in and do your thing and go home and complain about it. I didn't want that to happen. It could scar my outlook on baseball for the rest of my life, so I was in a bit of a dilemma. So I woke up and just kind of walked around a little bit and debated whether or not I was going to actually go in, listen to the radio. And the radio people were saying, yes, folks, it's pouring now, but they're going to play today. They're going to do it somehow. They don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to do it. So after a while, I kind of convinced myself, okay, I guess the lunatics are going to try to play, so I might as well get my money's worth. And one thing they all said was, they all said, this game is not going to start on time. As God is my witness, every radio station in town said, they may get a game played today, but I don't see how it's going to get played on time. Well, that's how, as I was parking my car in Queens, the Mets took the field. And I didn't park my car really all that close to Shea Stadium. I've got one of those secret little neighborhoods that people know about where you can always find a parking space. Well, I found mine and still had about 12 subway stops to go before I got there. Which I did. But I didn't get there till the second inning, and the Mets were behind 2-0, and it was depressing at that point because I walked into the stadium. I couldn't find Jim. In fact, I didn't see Jim all day. Jim, are you out there? Did you make it to the game? I don't know. I don't know for sure what happened. He said he'd be back. I suspect he came back and managed to get into the front row again or something. But I went back to my seat underneath the roof where it was a little bit sheltered and joined them in progress. Behind 2-0. That's when you realize what an incredible game baseball is, because unlike every other game, it has a set rule plan. You know, you have to run to a goal or make a basket. It's pretty much the same back and forth thing. Soccer, hockey, basketball, football, even tennis is back and forth, back and forth. Same old thing. But baseball is different. There's an unlimited number of things that can happen. You know, there's all different ways you can hit a ball, all kinds of strange rules. Today, for the first time, I saw a catcher drop a third strike. And when you drop a third strike, the batter can run to first base, and that's exactly what he did. And that was a run for the Mets. That was their first run, in fact. Never seen that before. Been to a lot of games, I've never seen that. Another thing I never saw before was a run being walked in. I saw that twice today. They each did it. Each team walked in a run with the bases loaded. Incredible. I saw a pitcher get thrown out for putting tar or cement or something on his ball or glove. Don't know why he wanted to do a thing like that, but that's right out there. Can't do that. That was the inning that the Dodgers went through 4 pitchers in a single inning. I'd never seen that before either. But what was probably the most amazing thing about this game, it made me realize how much like life baseball is, because you start out at a certain point. I walked into that stadium. I was wet. I was late. The Mets were behind 2-0. Couldn't find my friend. People around me were kind of surly. But most importantly, we were losing. And it just kind of made your whole outlook look as cloudy as the weather. And you just looked at the scoreboard, and you saw we were in the third inning, and you sort of predicted the whole thing, 1, 2, 3 innings the whole way through until the ninth inning, and then they would lose, and then you would go home. And that's the way it would work. Because you were at a disadvantage. And that's what I like about baseball, because no matter how far behind you appear to be, It doesn't take all that much to turn things around. And that's where the similarity to life that I see comes in, because you can have the same kind of mood. You can be given a bum rap at the start. You can be brought up in a life of poverty and misery. Poor jokes. The works, you know? And then there's one event. One day that you wake up and you do something and you change it all. And suddenly everything is different. And in the bottom of the sixth inning, that's when things started to change. That's when two big runs came in and the game was tied for the first time. And in the bottom of the, was it the eighth inning? I think it was the bottom of the eighth when five runs came in. And all of a sudden, we were on top of the world. And to think it was the same game that I had walked in on after two innings, and the world seemed to be over. Well, maybe not that much, was I affected by it, but things seemed pretty bleak. But after the outlook changed, nobody noticed the weather anymore. Now, let me tell you, the mood on the number 7 train going back was incredibly different than the mood coming in both days and going back last night. The spirit just wasn't there last night on the train. I mean, everybody was just in a bad mood. But after this happened, things changed. And now they're scheduling a game for tomorrow at a reasonable time, something like 8 o'clock at night. We will discuss why this game took place at such a bizarre hour, why I had to get up at 8:30 in the morning to go to a baseball game in the same state that I'm in, and we'll take your phone calls. Yes, we'll get to your phone calls. I realize I've been talking for 6 hours or whatever. So if you want to dial now, feel free, 632-6901. I'm not going to talk about sports the whole time, I don't think. I never talk about sports. In fact, sometimes I even criticize sports on this program. Well, before we go on, a man who is much more articulate about such things will give a short dissertation on the differences between this great national pastime of baseball and another sport, which many of us have become familiar with, but is certainly no national pastime.
Baseball and football. Baseball is pastoral. Football is technological. Baseball is played in a park. Football is played in a stadium. Bunt. Football has the punt. Baseball's object is to go home. I'm going home. In football, we are down in enemy territory, reaching for the end zone. In football, we have the block, the clip, the kick, the blitz, the bomb, the offense, the defense. In baseball, we have the sacrifice. And in baseball, you make an error. In football, you pay a penalty. Woody Hayes wears a baseball hat during the football game.
Can you imagine if Walter Alston wore a football helmet during the baseball game? They would truck him away, man.
Get him out of the dugout, man. Check his calendar.
Thank you, George Carlin there, with the differences between baseball and football. From a record called An Evening with Wally Londo, featuring Bill Slazo, okay. It is recommended that the contents of this album are screened carefully before clearing for airplay. Baseball is a controversial topic, as I'm sure you all know. God, this stuff is terrible. This natural juice sparkler, I just... ugh. No advantages to that whatsoever. I'm in worse shape now than when I started. Okay, why did this game start at midday, 12 o'clock in the afternoon? You don't know? You really don't know. Think a little bit. Just think a little bit harder. No? Other listeners would know. You know, other listeners at other radio stations would know. Money! For God's sake, people, money! That's what motivates everything. And there's a three-letter word that motivated this game being played at noon. ABC. It's as simple as that. You see, ABC had a college football game scheduled for 3 o'clock this afternoon. ABC also has the rights to the playoffs. Therefore, ABC has to make a choice, or cover both. Now, how can they cover both? Especially since they have another game to cover tonight. Oh, what a horrible mess they're in. Well, the only way to get out of it is to inconvenience 50,000 people in Queens and make them get up at the crack of dawn to go out and see a game in the rain. And ruin my car in the process. Get me sick and have me drink this garbage on the air. Well, it's nice to know I'm a part of the big corporate structure. I made their profits nice and rosy for them. You know who else is upset about this? Nelson Doubleday. Who's Nelson Doubleday, everyone asks. It's good that you ask that, because everybody knows who George Steinbrenner is. It's because he's such a jerk, everybody knows who he is. Nelson Doubleday, he's not quite a jerk. Not as much of a jerk. I mean, I don't even know how much of a jerk he is. I haven't seen the ratings on that kind of thing. But I think it's safe to say he's not as much of a full-blown jerk as George Steinbrenner. Who is he? He's the owner of the Mets. That's right, the owner of the Mets. Probably owns quite a few other things, too, with a name like Nelson Doubleday. But in any event, last night, as we were leaving Shea Stadium, we heard a bit of an explosion. And reading the paper today, I found out what it was. It was Mets owner Nelson Doubleday blasting network television for screwing with the national pastime. Those are his words. Screwing with the national pastime. Nelson Doubleday, 1988. Moments after Game 3 of the National League Championship Series. Ah, thank you, New York News, Dave, for not saying NLCS. Can't tell you how much I despise that. Moments after Game 3 of the National League Championship Series was postponed because of rain, Doubleday threatened to have his team report late to Shea Stadium for the game today, which is scheduled, or was scheduled, this was written before it was played, was scheduled to begin at 12:20. Doubleday said he has spoken with Dodgers owner Peter O'Malley, and that O'Malley also is angered by what Doubleday called being yanked around because of some silly football game. A college football game, no less. You know, we started late tonight because of a college football game. What's going on here? College football is running this country. It's entirely possible we won't show up tomorrow, Doubleday said. What would they do then? I talked to O'Malley, and he said it's not such a bad idea. When told Game 5 of the playoffs will be played at noon on Monday, that's right, All you folks that wanted to go to the game tomorrow. No. You've got to go to the game at noon on Monday. Lucky for you, Monday's a holiday. But that wouldn't have made a bit of difference. You see, Monday Night Football can't interfere with that. Noon, 12 o'clock, Monday. Anyway, when told that that game was going to start at noon, he said maybe we should miss that one too. What we're talking about here is the damn tail wagging the dog. This is the fall classic. Now, we have to change things because the networks want to make money off us and off college football and pro football. When do we start making sense? They should come to us and ask us when we are going to play the games. This is the time of year when we show our wares. Our best four teams are playing. I called O'Malley. I told him we should hold our guys off the field while it dries. The hell with television. I'm going to say that again. The hell with television. Oh, that feels good. Try it yourself. The hell with television. Ah, yes. That field isn't going to be ready by noon. It's drenched. It was drenched, folks. It was raining all night. In fact, it was still raining when we got there. For some reason, they played the game while it was still raining today at noon, but they wouldn't play it last night while it was raining, and there was less rain accumulated by that time. A lot more rain had fallen overnight. It was a lot wetter at noon than it was at 8 o'clock last night. Yet they started right on the nose, right while I was still parking my car. Money talks. College football, money, and ABC. Those three things. I'm thinking first about our players, Doubleday says. Their players and our fans. I don't want our guys playing on a soggy field. I don't want a game decided because somebody's outfielder slipped on wet grass. TV shouldn't want it either. And a few outfielders did slip, and I saw a pitcher slip. I saw a runner slip. I saw an old lady slip, too. That was pretty funny, actually. But in any event, ABC is telecasting the league playoff series while NBC will be showing the World Series. NBC, I've got a few things to say about them, too, but we'll get to that later. Doubleday said he was angered first by the change in the starting time of Game 2 in Los Angeles on Wednesday. Remember this? It originally was scheduled to begin at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. However, it was announced on September 27th by the commissioner that the starting time would be changed to 10 p.m., Eastern Daylight Time. Why? Oh, what a silly question. To allow the networks to televise the vice presidential debate. Really, Senator, that was uncalled for. Remember that? What kind of change was that, Doubleday said. The first game was a great classic game. The second wasn't as great. But people still wanted to see it. And they started at 10 o'clock? How many on the East Coast stayed up to see the end of the game? Come on, raise your hands. Who knows? If all our fans were awake, we might have won the game. Thank you, television, I'm sure. And he walked away in a huff. Doubleday said he understood his remarks probably would not be received well by other club owners and by the commissioner, who must still negotiate a new television contract with the networks. He said he would like to have the matter discussed at a joint meeting of the club owners, but they probably won't let me bring it up, he said. Everyone's worried so much about the money. I'm worried about the people who support us all year and the players. 12 o'clock is a good time to play on Monday, and it's a good time to play Saturday. That's what TV says. What about today, Friday? 12 o'clock's no good? We have to wait until the middle of the night to start? Now they face a huge problem Monday. Our game, the American League game, and an NFL game at night. We're going to play at noon. The people in L.A. ought to love that. Baseball and breakfast. I guess I shouldn't complain. Do you think they would have started it at 12 noon if the game had been in Los Angeles? In other words, expected the people to show up at 9 o'clock in the morning there? Wouldn't put it past them. TV, it's running our lives. Not only are we enslaved by it, but everything is controlled by the TV schedule. You know, when the players would run off the field between innings, it's programmed into my mind that there's going to be a commercial coming up, and there's kind of a look of wonder when you don't see a commercial. You just sort of see the field, and you wonder what's going on. Something must be wrong. I don't know. Mets won 8-4, head in the series, 2-1. And the people of New York are happy. At least I think they are. Let's find out. Our phone number, 516-632-6901. Take a swig of this orange junk.
Ugh.
This is awful. This is really bad. 632-6901. And if you notice my voice getting hoarser and hoarser, it's because when you stand outside in the rain for 2 days and you don't run around on a field like the other guys did, you have to pay some kind of a price on top of the admission. I tried to reason it out last night. I said, you know, they play football in the rain. Why can't they play baseball in the rain? They're worried about injuries. Oh, worried about injuries. You'd rather send 50,000 people out onto a wet highway in a bad mood. Tell me what kind of injuries are going to result from that. Then they're going to get home. And they're going to be mad at each other for no good reason. We're talking about not only possible physical injury, broken relationships, shattered dreams, bawling kids. And we're worried about nine guys being paid millions of dollars twisting their ankles. America, where are our values? Let's find out. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello, Mr. Corley.
Hey, Andrew Goldberger.
No, this is Arnold.
Arnold Goldberger.
No, not Goldberger.
Arnold, not Goldberger.
No, I called you a couple of weeks ago saying I was going to report you to the FCC.
Report me to the FCC?
Yeah, for your racist comments and your sexist jokes.
My racist comments and my sexist jokes.
Yes, I'm not going to report you anymore on the grounds of sexism, but on racist...
Well, well, well. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage. Fascinating. You know, we reach out to these people and they all qualify for the title of the show. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Oh, wow. I got through them tonight easy.
Only because we had two people before you that couldn't quite get their thoughts out.
Sound like Gene Shepard with a sarcastic twist tonight.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not being sarcastic. I mean everything I say.
Oh.
I don't care who I offend. It has
no,
to be said.
No,
it has to be said.
I don't know why you called it the... I guess I couldn't relate to why you called it the Hard Luck Deli. Are they really open that late?
Yeah, you know, it gets me upset. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going back a ways in the saga here when I went downstairs to get orange juice and wound up with this orange junk.
Snapple.
No, it's not that, and don't say brand names because that's not fair. It's not Snapple, though.
It sounded like it. I drove all the way out.
I wish it was, tell you the truth. This garbage here makes me...
Oh. That's bad.
But it gets me upset because there's a student-run place downstairs.
From? Lounge?
It's called the Rainy Night House. They're not a commercial organization. We can say their name. But they're not open. Saturday night, and they're not open. Why is this? You know, you could go down there, you can get a brownie, have a glass of orange juice, get a comforting word from somebody. Oh, but no, I got to go to this crazy deli that only sells... beer and orange-colored water.
Well, one day I bought a sandwich there, and the girl was coughing on it as she was making it.
Yeah, you had to pay extra for that, I'll bet.
And then me, like a dummy, I ate it. She was coughing really bad. Her tongue was curled up and everything as she was putting the liverwurst on it.
So you follow the baseball games at all, since we've been talking about that for the last hour?
You know, every time I call, I go off the subject.
You certainly do. People like you cause unrest, you know that?
It's people like me what causes social unrest.
You got it.
I'm sitting here listening to you and watching the Playboy Channel at the same time. Can I say Playboy Channel over the air?
Sounds like you did twice already.
Oh. They were boasting about this movie, about how great it was, but it doesn't look so good. Crimes of Passion and the 6 minutes that were missing.
I hear they're going to stop calling it the Playboy Channel.
What are they going to call it?
I don't know, but they're going to stop calling it. They found out that calling it the Playboy Channel turns people off.
Well, I tell you.
Especially females. And for those of you that accuse me of being... I don't know why people are accusing me of being sexist, of all things. Who?
Well,
I wish that guy was still on. How am I sexist?
Are you mad at me for doing that again?
No, but... Why? Did you do that?
I know. I went off the subject again of baseball.
No, not at all. You just made me go on a rampage for a second.
Patient.
Go ahead.
Good. I think women would like it because it's not nasty. It's pretty clean. Like.
Well, it's the name that they object to. And I don't, you know, it makes perfect sense to me because, you know, I would think if anything was a sexist organization, Playboy would certainly qualify.
Well, the only dumb thing about it is with the women, when they do it to women with the centerfold.
Uh-huh.
Hey, and then the women talk about how great it is, how great Playboy is, and how they're they have no hang-ups about nudity. But I wonder how they would talk about nudity and stuff if they weren't getting paid so much to do those layouts.
Uh-huh.
And you get the picture.
It bugs me, you know, because you think about it, and everyone who's famous and a female either appears in a topless magazine or gets an offer to appear in a magazine like that. And, I mean, just think of it, you know? I mean, you know, politicians don't get those kind of offers, male politicians, and it's kind of a weird set of values we've got.
Thrilling.
Another thing I was thinking of, on the way home tonight, I was listening to a radio station, and they were covering the baseball game, and there was a female commentator talking all about tonight's game with the Red Sox and the A's,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, you know, it must be kind of strange to... be a female talking about this male-dominated sport, a sport which, certainly with present values, a female could never hope to be a part of.
Yeah, I don't think they should be. Anyway.
Now, can you imagine men getting all excited about women's... I don't know what to even compare it to. You know, women's... What's a major women's sport that people pack stadiums for?
Let's see.
There is none. Every sport that people pack stadiums for are simply males.
Well, it's like I always say.
And I started thinking, well, you know, that's so strange to be
well,
a part
way,
and to report on it and
that.
To actually take part in it and
don't belong.
What's that?
Women are trying to get into places where they don't belong.
Do you think that's true?
I believe that because men, when we were kids, when boys were kids, we always...
When boys were kids?
Anybody says the guys have a tendency to wrestle with each other and see who's stronger. Women just don't do that because they don't have the same hormones.
Well, I'll tell you, over the years, questions have been raised about certain things, about certain people belonging, about equality and things like that, and I've noticed that in almost every case,
right.
when the question is raised, the equality eventually is granted.
Well, maybe someday it'll be a matriarch in society and everything.
Well, some societies are. Some, I believe, African societies and South American societies are matriarchal, or whatever that word is.
But where was, you know,
but they
I
don't have Major League Baseball
Seattle
teams.
Tonight to go into the singles bar, and I turned around and went back home. I listened to you. I said, well, your story was more interesting than who
oh,
I was going to meet.
No, I'm messing up people's social lives now.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't, you know, I drove all the way there, and I'm saying, what do I want to go in here for anyway? What's happening to me? What's going on? The single scene is too much for me. I can't take it anymore. I got my nice, shiny vet, and they all look at me, and they want me to go in and dance. I don't have any enthusiasm to go in there anymore.
Drive a vet, huh?
Yeah, maybe you see it back there behind the union. I cover it up. I'm the only one in the parking lot with a covered car.
Uh-huh.
I park it back there. Maybe, I don't know. I guess some people think it's weird, but I want to keep it covered up. It costs me half the money. So I'm into cars. You know, I'm actually talking to you with a phone that has no wire on it right now.
Is it a cellular phone or a mobile phone?
It's just one of them phones with an antenna on it. Isn't this exciting?
Well, not only is your call being broadcast on 90.1 FM, but it's probably being broadcast somewhere else on the radio band.
Yeah, sorry. Well, I'm sure it's amplitude modulation. I opened it up and I see the little AM antenna in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely AM. But the cold you've got, another thing, your cold, it's not going to be a bad one. I just had it. It's probably the same one that's going around.
Did you go to the stadium last night and today?
Yeah, well, it's gonna.
Because I don't think you have the same cold I have.
Probably.
That's gonna be a big cold. I can tell.
Oh, it's gonna go away, and you're gonna be surprised. You're gonna wake up and say, "Where'd it go?"
No, my forehead's flushed. My cheeks are flushed.
It's gonna go away.
I got a sore throat.
It's gonna be but my sore throat lasted for about a week.
But my foot hurts too for some reason.
But it was subtle, and the cold's gonna go away. It's gonna go away in like a day. Serious.
Well, I didn't need a cold for even 10 minutes, you know.
10 minutes.
I don't like inconveniences like that.
Yeah, but just think. Now your immune system will be nice and sharp, and maybe you won't get any cold for a while. Isn't that great?
Yeah, wonderful. That's not much of a comfort to me on the verge of getting a cold, you know.
You know what we got
to
do?
I know you're trying to help, but that's not much of a comfort. I'm sorry.
Did you get the little message that I left on the bulletin board?
Yes, you left a message saying, hi, I was here.
Yeah, I was up there getting the name of a record that somebody played in the morning. It was really good.
Oh, yeah. You came and visited us personally, huh?
Well, I work right across the street, you know.
Oh, you work on campus. That's right. Across campus in our graduate chemistry building, right?
But I was listening before I worked there. I'm not biased, you know.
Uh-huh. No, nobody's biased. Anyone who says that is a fool.
Oh, yeah? How about Newsday?
Which one? New York Newsday or Long Island Newsday? There's a difference, you know.
Not much.
10 cents.
Really?
Yep.
I hear the Rome phone ringing in the background.
The Rome phones are always ringing here on campus.
If two rings is an outside Rome and one ring is an inside Rome, did you know that?
Yes, there's ways of telling if the person you're calling, who's calling you, is on campus or off campus. And
you know that in the
there's ways of even telling where they're calling from off campus.
Yeah, this is terrible.
It's scary, the things the system can do. It can get a printout of someone's phone number. You know, that's Big Brother for you.
Baseball. We should be talking about baseball, but I'm not really interested in baseball.
Well, you see, I wasn't really interested in it either. I was more interested in the event. And one thing you have to say, I saw an event. Just being there in the wetness and watching the mood change. It was kind of a philosophical event for me.
Philosophical.
The whole parallel to life is incredible.
Hot dog. I heard you talking about the hot dog.
I don't want to talk about that anymore.
It's in your mouth and it's still in your system.
I'm just glad I didn't have this orange drink and that at the same time.
Well, maybe it was like that because the weather was so bad.
I don't think so.
Maybe it's because you're not a kid anymore, and it's just not the same thing.
Now, you know, when you try to buy something from a guy, and he tells you that they sell them outside, too, you should take that as a sign.
What do you mean they sell them outside, too?
He was trying to convince me not to buy it.
What?
Well, having sold these things, he knew what they were like, and he was trying to tell me maybe you should wait till later.
Just telling you that? The guy was selling them?
Not in so many words, but with his eyes, he definitely was. And I was stupid enough not to listen.
Well, I was at Shea Stadium once, and I remember looking up to see how tall it was. And just as I looked up, somebody spit on my head.
Ah, you were lucky then.
I was lucky. Because
you never found out. You never found out how tall it was. That's always a scary fact to be revealed.
Oh, Bill, you caught that. That's good. But then you started to talk about it like it was a job.
It was just like a job. It was an ordeal. And if I had to come back again tomorrow...
I was laughing because you started to say the way you complain about your job. And I hate my job there at the university.
Well, when going to a baseball game becomes an ordeal, you'd know it's gone too far.
You know what I hate so much about working there? It's so hard to goddamn find a place to park.
What, here at Stony Brook?
Hallberger is an ass. There, I said it over the air.
Well, I'm sure we'll get backlash for that, but...
No, that guy doesn't know what the hell he's doing. I don't make much money over there.
Well, you can't blame him for not having a parking space, can you?
$15 a month? What kind of thing is that?
Hey, we got to raise money.
Come on, we got to.
This university is running out of money. We got to charge people to park.
Are you on his side?
I'm just playing the devil's advocate here.
Come on, Eric. Do you really think that $15 a month is justified for the employees to pay to park?
How much do you pay to rent your office? How much do you pay to park your bicycle? How much do you pay every time you walk across the street? These are all things that the state has considered charging people for.
Come on.
And rejected it for now. So be careful. Too much criticism can lead to worse things.
Yeah, but there could be
a... That's a message from your friendly totalitarian government here.
This is ridiculous. Come on, $15 a month to pay to park my car there where I work? I work there. What are you charging me for? I used to work at the TV shop. They never paid me to park there. They never even thought of it.
Things change, you know.
Yeah. Mm. You think that it's justified? Or are you being sarcastic?
I don't know. I just don't know.
But you don't have to pay. You probably get there at all these weird hours. I have to get there every day. So I find a place where I don't have to pay, but it's not easy. I have to get in too early in the morning.
Why don't you simply park off campus and walk over?
I'm going to park the vet off campus. I'm afraid to park that thing on campus.
Well, how far away from campus do you live?
CI.
How far?
I live in Central Islip.
Did you say CI?
Yeah.
That's another thing. I can't stand people abbreviating things, okay? I can't stand this NLCS CI for Central Islip. What's going to be SB next for Stony Brook?
This is crazy. I know you were mad about the World Series. I couldn't believe it.
I don't like newspeak, okay? I don't like people abbreviating every little word into something easy to say.
How come?
Well, what are we going to do with all that extra time?
No, you're right. Well, what about the newspaper? They do that like crazy in the ads and stuff.
Well, the only way they're going to stop is if we rise up and speak against it, and that's what I intend to do.
Well, I always write street when I make out an envelope instead of ST, period.
Well, make sure you do that. And on every organization you write out checks to, make sure that you write out every word fully.
Are you happy now?
May take a little bit of time, but we've got too much time on our hands anyway.
We do. You really told a good story tonight, though. You were like Gene Shepard almost.
Well, it's not over yet, you see.
Oh.
Because,
Maybe I should let somebody else get a word in edgewise, huh?
Might be a good idea. Let's encourage some more callers to call in. 632-6901. We've got a couple of lines ringing, but
remember, there's
always the chance that they could be silly calls. And if we go through them 1-2, we don't have anything left. So, folks, call up now. 632-6901. Especially you sensible people out there. I know there's lots of sensible people that sit by the radio on Saturday night.
I wonder how far.
Why?
Away.
Because all the silly people are out driving around doing other things. The sensible people are more sedate, more intelligent.
Why don't we test
the
phone
from them
and see how far I can walk before it doesn't come in anymore?
Okay, you walk until you fade out, and then we'll go to some more calls.
Do we do that?
632-6901. We still have an open line, so call in.
Better let somebody get in. This is Big Jim Doomsayer signing off.
Okay, just keep talking until you...
No, I can't ever, because I have to go outside.
Go outside, then. Come on, do it for us.
All right, I got my bare feet. I'm going to do it.
I can go to Shea Stadium for 2 days in the rain. You can walk outside in your bare feet.
I can, huh? Well, let me put the antenna up.
Okay.
Fade out, then you're going to hang up, because I, you know.
Well, you'll probably hang up by fading out.
No, I don't think it works that way.
Okay, I'm going to let you have a monologue until you fade out.
I should give you...
You're on your own.
Tour of the house. There's the cat. Say hello to the cat. He's coughing. Can you hear me still?
I can hear you still, but you have to talk by yourself.
The ground is cold, Eric. You know, you really put me through hell here. I better get something for this. Free tickets to something.
I'm getting a lot of satisfaction.
I'm outside. Can you still hear me?
I can still hear you fine. Keep talking.
I'm walking in my shorts outside in the street. It's freezing out. With no shoes on. Are you happy?
Somebody call the police. We have a maniac wandering around Central Iceland.
Where's Joe Block or whatever his name is?
Can you see any stars?
Oh, yeah, there's Mars. I'm going past the neighbor's house. It's cold out.
Isn't Mars bright tonight?
Now, how am I coming in?
Oh, you're coming in fine. No difference whatsoever.
The neighbor's house already. It's freezing.
Why don't you run a little bit?
Well, I hope nobody I know is listening, because then it's going to confirm that I'm a total nut. There's Mars. I can see it. I'm getting too...
There he goes. He's gone. Oh, that's great. 632-6901. Good evening. You are on Brain Damage.
Nigga, nigga, nigga.
They waited 25 minutes to say that.
That is so ridiculous.
Oh, dear. I pressed the wrong button there. I'm sorry, whoever that was. If you were going to say something silly, then I hit the right button. But if you weren't going to say something silly, then I hit the wrong button, and I apologize. 632-6901. You see, that's what I was afraid of, folks. We ran through all of our silly calls, and there's no sensible ones. Okay, there's one call now. One call, but that could be a silly call. If it's a silly call, I don't want to take it. So if another line rings, I will take the first line. Oh, wait a minute. What if the person has two phones? Then he's just going to call on the second line, then I'll have two silly calls. Okay, there's two lines ringing now. One more line, and I will definitely start picking things up. I think that's fair, because very few people these days have three lines. Of course, he could have a friend that he would call up on his second line and say, call with your two lines, but let's just assume that's not going to happen. 632-6901, area code 516, waiting for that third light. There it is. Let's go. Good evening. You're on brain damage.
Hold on a second.
Sounds halfway sensible to me. Best call yet.
Max East.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Can I help you?
This is Max East.
This is who?
Who's this?
You're calling a call-in radio show. Do you know that?
No, I don't.
Ah, who gave you the phone?
My phone just rang in my control room.
Oh, dear. Control room? What, are you in a nuclear power plant?
Pardon me?
Are you in a nuclear power plant?
No, I'm in a television studio.
What television studio would that be?
It would be home box office.
Didn't you call us once before?
No, I did not.
Well, someone keeps connecting us to home box office. This is WUSB. We do a call-in radio show.
Uh-huh. Where is WUSB located?
In Stony Brook, New York.
Ah, is this running out of the university?
That's right, and you're live on the air. As long as you're on the air, why don't you say something to the folks?
They say something to the folks?
Yeah.
Huh? Don't get involved in communications. It's not what you know, it's who you know in this business.
Tell me about it. What are your responsibilities with HBO?
My trade is I came to HBO with my camera experience. I'm a qualified cameraman and videotape operator.
Uh-huh, and what are you doing right now?
Monitoring a feed across the east, for the East Coast for Cinemax.
I see. So you are the person in charge of running whatever is on Cinemax right now.
Whatever on the air right now, right?
So you could theoretically press a button and stop that.
That's right.
Wow. Does that give you a sense of power?
No, not at all. Because there are far people above me that have the power to fire me.
I see. That would wipe.
If I did such a task.
That would wipe that sense of power right out, wouldn't it?
Got it.
Well, I guess you're pretty busy then. I don't want to take away from your...
No, we're not, because we're already on the air with the program, so it's another hour and 41 minutes before we go into another break.
I see. Well, we were talking about the Mets, about the National League playoffs and all that kind of thing. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, the amazing Mets.
Yeah, I was there. I was giving kind of a long, drawn-out story of what it's like to be in the rain in the stadium. I suppose you were in a nice, comfortable room watching on television, weren't you?
Yes, I was, but there have been many a times I've been at that stadium and I've done, camera out in the field and stuff, and it's been very, very cold.
Oh, you get to cover the game for
freelance on the side. I do some freelance work for Sports Channel and other shows.
I saw a guy walking down the aisle over and over again with a camera and a couple of people behind him. I was wondering, what was that person doing? They just seemed to be walking back and forth with a camera.
They probably disconnect the camera from one position. They were going to another position, probably to a studio or something like that. And they were shooting an interview or something like that.
I see. Oh, so they go around shooting interviews. They don't cover the actual playing on the field.
They do, but when there's a break in the action or when they don't need that camera position, what they'll do is they'll break the camera and put it somewhere else where they do need it, like within a studio or a dressing room or something like that.
Uh huh. I see. Well, that's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow? Any predictions?
Well, I certainly hope that the Mets win. You know, I hope they're able to win it again for the 88 season.
It's interesting we have you on the line because we were just talking about how television controls all of this stuff, and that's why the game started at noon today, because ABC had a college football game.
Yeah.
Is that very obvious in the television industry that television is really pulling the strings?
Yes, and what's pulling their strings is they have the advertising companies paying big money for the commercial time, and who's paying for that commercial time is you and I and the products that we buy.
Uh-huh. So it's a big circle.
But that's actually paying for it all.
So we end up paying for it, and it's because of us that the games are scheduled at 12 noon.
Yeah, because that's what, you know, the products that you buy in a store and, you know, everything costs, and these people are paying big money for commercial time. You know, $250,000 for a one-minute spot, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's the Super Bowl, they do the same thing.
Exactly.
They schedule it around TV.
Yeah, that's why NBC didn't get such a good write-up during the Olympics, because they were constantly breaking to commercials, and then finally when they went back to the action, you didn't have the slightest idea of what was going on.
Uh-huh, and they also covered the United States too much and not the other countries.
Well, I happened to be in France at the time when the Olympics were going on, and I got to see the Olympics between 2 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
It was being aired there. And they gave an overall picture of the Olympics, but then again, they also gave a lot of emphasis on their medal winners and things like that.
Uh-huh. But when, I mean, how many medals did France win?
I don't remember at the time.
It's probably less than 10 or something, right?
It could be.
Yeah, when you have a country with that few, it's likely you'll see a lot less nationalism than a country like United States, Soviet Union, East Germany, the top three.
Yes, which are paid athletes.
Uh-huh.
Compared to ours, which we don't pay.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure our athletes would be a lot more of a contender with the Russians if we paid our athletes like they pay theirs.
Uh-huh. Well, we do pay some of our athletes, but they're busy being professional over here, so they can't go over there.
Well, that's only in tennis.
Is it only tennis?
That's the only ones that you'll find it in.
What about soccer? Well, we don't have a soccer league anymore, do we? Mike, I don't know if... Actually, we didn't have any American soccer players. We just imported a bunch of foreign people, didn't we?
Well, I guess we might have.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But our athletes, you can't be a professional athlete or be a paid professional and compete in the Olympics. The only sport that they allow that in is tennis.
Uh-huh. So does that mean the champions were playing in the Olympics in tennis?
Well, no. You're talking about communist countries. That's their professional athletes playing against our amateurs.
Uh-huh.
And on overall picture, I think we did pretty good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, this is, the Western way of life. Sports can be a business. Anything can be a business. So I guess that just kind of backfired on us in the Olympics. I'm not quite certain how those rules came into being.
Well, it's that's how it goes. You know, they don't have professional athletes, or they don't have sports. They don't pay theirs. They're sports people. They don't have baseball. They don't have American football, you know, and they don't commercialize it like we do, and they don't pay their athletes millions of dollars like
uh-huh.
we do.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, we're going to get some more of the calls.
You do?
Yeah. But
this is a university radio station?
Yes, it is.
I want to say hello to my little cousin there, Michelle Raffer. She's listening.
Okay, well, hopefully she is.
Oh, I hope so, too.
And, well, I can't say thanks for calling because you didn't call us, but...
Thank you for calling us.
Well, we didn't call you. Someone connected us somehow.
I see.
But thanks for speaking with us. I think that's the important thing here.
Alrighty.
And hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Will do.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
What's weird about this phone system here is that anyone on campus has a capability of calling a number and then transferring us to that number, and... Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Obviously, somebody on this campus knows somebody in HBO. And if the HBO top brass is listening, we're not the ones doing this. Somebody on this campus knows somebody there in a control room and is transferring us to them. We know what you're up to. Ironically, though, one of our best calls is somebody who didn't even call us. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello, you cut me off.
I pressed the wrong button again. This person is going to be very, very, very upset. I'm sorry. I really am. When you start talking, talk in a nice tone of voice, and my finger won't automatically hit the kill button. It's like a soldier on a field. You know, trigger happy, that kind of thing. I'm push button phone happy, you might say. Treat me nice, I'll do the same to you. But if you cross me, you'll be talking to a dial tone sooner than you ever thought possible. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
I am pussy!
Huh? Well, that doesn't bear repeating, whatever it was. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello, please don't cut me off, okay?
I'll try not to.
All right, to go off the subject a bit, I was just reading about a pretty cool thing. Are you familiar with U.S. Patent number 4666425?
Wait a minute. Let's write this down. 466, what was it again?
4666425.
4666425.
Hold on. It's a device for perfusing an animal head.
No one here is familiar with it. What was that about an animal head?
It's apparently a machine to keep a human head severed from the body alive and conscious.
Is that so? And who, pray tell, has invented this?
Chet Fleming. I'm reading an ad for a book about it in this catalog by Loom Panics Unlimited, which you're probably familiar with.
Loom Panics, yes, I am familiar with them. They're a bunch of crazy people. Well, no, they're not crazy people. They just advertise things by all kinds of...
This is apparently serious. Not only is it an accepted patent, but it's been endorsed by the Humane Society.
But would you care to describe it a little bit more then?
Well, they don't tell you much. They give you a little diagram here, but the point is, I guess it, let's see. There's a head, and there's two tubes coming out of it, which I guess is more schematic than the real thing, but it takes the blood out, passes it through a support animal, I guess, to exchange nutrients, then you add glucose to it, then you take out urea and lactate, then you oxygenate it and take out the CO2, then you stick in some heparin so it doesn't clot, and then you pump it back in again. And they claim that they did it in 1970, and like with an animal, and it survived for a while, but then died.
Well, maybe this is a stupid question, but why would somebody want to do that?
Don't you think it'd be pretty cool?
Oh, yeah, but I don't think that's a reason to give it a patent, because it's pretty cool.
Well, the reason to give it a patent is that no one else thought of it, I suppose.
I wonder if that's a reason to get a patent, because no one thought of it.
Well, sure, because, I mean, if someone else has a patent, then you might have lost your chance.
That's true. That's a chance I won't stay up nights wondering why I ever missed it, but...
It could be useful.
What's the official name of this thing?
Device for perfusing an animal head.
It doesn't have a name, then. It's just a device for perfusing an animal head.
Yeah, well, I guess they haven't actually built a commercialized model yet.
Let me ask you a question. How much is it?
How much is the machine?
Yeah.
I don't know. They don't. I guess no one's manufacturing it at the moment.
Oh, they just tell you that it exists.
This is the idea for it, and I guess it's been done in a research lab, supposedly, although I never heard anything about this.
Well, if anyone knows about this, anyone in a research lab somewhere, I'm sure Stony Brook is the place.
I've never heard about this, because it seemed pretty neat to me. And what's interesting about it is that, did you read the Pearl Andrew trilogy by C.S. Lewis?
No, but I've heard of it.
Well, in the third book, That Hideous Strength, there's this group called Nice, which are, like, trying to take over the world.
Wait a minute, whoa, what was the first one called, the first book?
I don't know, the first book was Pearl Andrew, I think, but the third book...
Yeah,
is...
and he goes to Mars, and there's, like, these weird beings,
right. Actually,
it's almost religious.
Well, the third book, they're on Earth, and this organization is taking over the world called Nice. And the head of Nice is a head which this guy, Phil Estrada, has figured out a way to keep it alive with machinery.
Uh-huh.
So this is like exactly the same thing. I wonder which came out first. I think C.S. Lewis did.
Nice, huh?
Yeah.
And interesting that there's a network of machines called Nice. That's C.S. Lewis. He was onto things, you know?
He sure knew what he was doing.
Well, thanks for enlightening us.
I hope you're interested.
Don't know what we're going to do with this information, but I'm sure some of our listeners are busily writing it down.
All right, enjoy.
Thank you.
Bye.
632... What's the rest of it? Oh, 632-6901. My mind drew a blank for a second. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello, Eddie.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you talking about tonight? You
this sounds like a familiar voice. This is a familiar voice, isn't it?
This is Sammy.
Sammy, of course. How could I forget your name?
Yeah, I don't know either.
Why?
But now you're talking about a shrunken head or something?
Well, now, I didn't bring this up, you might know. I mean, I just picked up the phone, the person was talking about...
A shrunken head?
Yeah, well, I'd rather talk about baseball, to tell you the truth, because, you know, the Mets did win today. I was there. The NLCS, whatever the hell that is. Are you a baseball fan, Sammy?
I watch baseball when they let the TV on, but, you know, you brought up something that everybody in baseball has a funny name.
Yeah.
They do. That's Thurman Munson. What kind of name is Thurman Munson?
I don't know any Thurmans. I don't know any Munsons.
Oh.
I don't know any Mookies. I don't know any Strawberries.
It's like Herman Munson.
It's crazy.
No, it's a crazy name. It's Steinbrenner. What is that? Some kind of long name, you know?
Well, I'm glad I don't know any of them.
Yeah. But isn't Doubleday the other guy that owns the Mets?
Yeah.
Is that the guy who invented baseball, Doubleday?
Hey. Well, I'll be. You know, and he's so low-key about it, too.
Is it a direct descendant?
Well, it might be a direct descendant. Then again, it might be him. Maybe he never died.
Oh, well, I think he's dead.
No one noticed.
Shrunk his head or something.
Ooh.
Well, preserved it.
You ever wonder what might happen if, like, somebody just never died? I mean, we'd never notice because we'd all die. And this person would still be there. And how would we know? You know, we wouldn't... tell people, hey, watch out, make sure this guy dies at some point in his life, you know? We just don't check on things like that. There could be one or two people around that have always been around, and they just kind of disappear for a while, and they come back, and there they are again, with a whole new group of people around them.
That sounds like the Twilight Zone.
Sounds pretty scary to me. I don't know if I want to leave this place now.
Oh, you know how they catch a man? Because he'd be signing for checks too many times. to be getting Social Security for something like 80 years. They know he's in the, he's supposed
you're right.
to be
you're,
alive, checked all that time.
You're right, Sammy. The people wouldn't catch it, but the computers would.
Sure, the computers would.
Yeah, that's
the computers caught me once where I was on unemployment. I was getting some kind of stamps, and I was getting a supplemental income. And the computers all put it together. I didn't argue with it. They was right, but they took it all back.
They took it all back, huh?
Yeah, you got to watch the computers. They can do anything with a computer.
They sure can.
They can find out if you've got no license, too.
They, yeah, sure.
Oh, right away. Used to be you could you slide a little bit on that. Now they lock me up all the time right away.
I'll tell you, it's just not the same anymore.
No, I hate them computer chips.
Well...
Well, anyway, baseball.
Baseball, yes. Let's get back to baseball here.
If it keeps raining, you mean they're going to have games in the rain?
Well, I don't know why they didn't play last night, because it wasn't raining any harder today. Or, I'm sorry, it wasn't raining any harder yesterday than it was today. At least it didn't seem to be. It seemed like the same consistency.
Yes, but to see that, because it's raining, people are staying home watching TV, and ABC wants to put it on.
So why didn't they put it on last night?
Well, not as many people probably staying home watching the cartoons or something.
Oh.
In the Saturday morning, there's a big crowd of people. They got nothing to do. They watch cartoons. I watch cartoons on a Saturday morning. I didn't watch the baseball because it was almost on the same time as Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Hey, what was the magic word today?
Well, I didn't even watch it.
Oh, I missed it. I was driving.
Oh, I didn't pay attention.
Hmm. Oh, well.
That show is crazy.
Yeah, I know it's crazy.
But it's like you know what it is? Like when you drink too much, that show looks just like what you feel like in the morning.
Uh-huh. Well, sometimes if you have a late Friday night, you catch Pee Wee's Playhouse in the morning.
Oh, man.
It's the last thing you see before you get completely zapped out.
Yeah, me too. But anyway, baseball. Potato chips in a bag?
No, I'm just rustling papers here.
What is it?
Making it sound official, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, a couple of friends of mine, they were going to go to a baseball game on Monday.
Uh-huh.
Which is Columbus Day. Now, ain't that going to interfere with the parade?
Is there a Columbus Day parade?
Sure.
Well, I don't see how it can interfere with it. I mean, it's in a stadium. Parades are usually in streets.
The traffic must be crazy in the city.
Well, traffic's going to be crazy no matter what.
Yeah.
But the ticker tape parade, that's one I'm looking forward to when the Mets win the series.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. There's a lot of
they have it scheduled already.
You know, they haven't met up with the best ticket. The best ticker tape parade was Lindbergh, and it still is.
Uh-huh.
And they haven't thrown as much paper as they threw at Lindbergh.
That's right. That was right before the severe paper shortages of the early part of the century. Do you remember that?
No, I wasn't here.
Yeah, people were buying pieces of paper for, I believe, a dollar each.
Really?
It was horrible.
But they didn't have their synthetic
That's
paper.
Why no one talked about Lindbergh for about 20 years. He was sort of, you know, the mousy tongue syndrome, they called it.
What's that?
Well, when somebody just sort of becomes disinherited by his own countrymen.
Well, he was Lone Eagle anyway.
Yeah. He earned that name. Anyway, Sammy, thanks very much for calling us.
I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, do that. Call us next week. We'll be back next week.
Thank you.
All right. And Sammy's gone. 632-6901 is our phone number. I wonder if anybody caught a rather historic event yesterday. As I was driving back, late Friday night? No, wait a minute. I drove back late Thursday night and drove in Friday. I forget, but I was driving at some point when WNBC was ending their broadcast day forever. I didn't catch the very last moment, but I caught a couple of the last hours. And I tell you, folks, it was sad. It was really sad to hear that station go. I mean, it wasn't that great a station, let's face it, but it represented so much. I mean, Cousin Brucey and all these folks from... in fact, I think there was an article about it in today's newspaper, which I have in my hand, which is very hard to find things in because of the way they set it up. But they had all these people from the past. Yes. Radio leaving Radio City as WNBC 660 goes off the air. Cousin Bruce Maurer was persuaded to let loose one of his patented squeals. I wonder if they are patented. Beer and wine flowed freely. Alan Colmes aired a commercial and then told his listeners, "I want to thank all the sponsors who finally decided to buy time on the station." WNBC went out of existence yesterday with laughs and on-air reminiscences. It was a happy funeral. "It's mind-boggling," said one sad-faced soul, looking into the studio, where Colmes, the afternoon host, had gathered Morrow, disc jockey Ted Brown, and other WNBC alumni for the final broadcast. But at 5:30 p.m., after a last call from a woman named Caroline, it was all over. The station's spot on the dial for the past 62 years was suddenly occupied by an all-sports operation, WFAN, whose owners moved it down the dial from 10:50 a.m. after concluding their purchase of WNBC. And then if you tuned in to 10:50 a.m. last night, you would have heard a recorded announcement over and over and over again telling WFAN listeners to dial over to 6:60 a.m. Just continuously saying that, nothing else. And then at about 8 or 9 o'clock, maybe about, I guess it was 10 o'clock, it must have been 10 o'clock, because that's when I was listening, they switched to Spanish music, which mystified me, and I'll tell you why in a second. But as a result of the switch, there is no more radio at Radio City. WFAN broadcast from the Kaufman Astoria Studios complex in Queens. The WNBC studios, located on the second floor of the RCA building, will be put to other use by NBC Incorporated, which sold the franchise to Emmis Broadcasting. And NBC is getting out of the radio business. Thank you, GE. As Colmes and the others laughed it up on the air, the adjoining space, which was occupied until recently by country music station WYNY-FM, was being emptied by moving men. The contents were being transported to 1700 Broadway, where Westwood One Incorporated moved the station after acquiring it from NBC. They also moved it from 97.1 to 103.5, and they moved Hot 103 over to 97. For some reason. And that's not all. There's more to this. So far, four stations have switched around. YNY, Hot 103, whatever their call letters are, WNBC and WFAN. Well, WNBC didn't go anywhere. And now we have this mysterious Spanish station at 10:50 a.m. called, I believe, WUKQ? I tell you, the good call letters just don't exist anymore. WUKQ? In fact, I think that's the only station other than us that has a U as the second part of their call letters. And I can't tell you how hard it is to say WU. You have to pronounce the W, and then you have to say a U. And more often, you just get a W, and you skip a U somewhere. But now there's another station, WUKQ. I believe that's it, because I heard them last night as they started broadcasting, and then they played Spanish music. So we have that station now at 10:50. That's not all. There's more, which I don't even mention in this article, and hopefully some of our listeners know something about this, because I'm thoroughly confused already. Getting back to this, though, for WNBC General Manager Peg Kelly, being in charge yesterday was a little like piloting a ship that's taking water. But she and her staff had been waiting for the end since Emmis Broadcasting announced its intentions to buy the station months ago. She wanted the last day to be the party it was. And asked about her plans, Kelly said, "I'm going to the Mets game tomorrow." Ha! You're not going to the Mets game tomorrow, Peg Kelly. You're going to the Mets game the next day. And if you go to the Mets game tomorrow, you better have tickets for yesterday, because that's the way it works. Peg Kelly's not going to be in a good mood. She's going to be in a worse mood than I am. Anyway, WNBC's business manager, Harvey Eckstein, came to WNBC when the station was carrying Tex McCrary and Jinx Falkenberg, one of the many husband and wife teams that peopled the airwaves during the 1950s. After 31 years' service, the 53-year-old executive is now looking for a new job. Yesterday, however, he was smiling. He was asked why he was smiling in such a rather foolish way. And he said, "I'm smiling because lots of old friends have come back for the occasion. Maybe on Monday I'll be sad,
He'll have a sad face on then. In recent weeks, Eckstein had performed the invaluable service of compiling a scrapbook of the station's many air personalities. He put his handiwork into binders for departing colleagues and set one aside for the Museum of Broadcasting, which I recommend to anybody out there interested in radio or TV. And they're getting a brand new building in a couple of years, too. Radio has always been a trade for gypsies who come and go from stations as formats change and ratings dip. Indeed, WNBC's dismal ratings in recent years might have periled the jobs of many employees, even if NBC had not decided to sell. But the death of WNBC comes with more than a little poignancy because it boasted such a long, illustrious history. Now they will have to revise the famous guided tours of Radio City. After all, why would visitors need to see the second floor when there's no one at the microphone inside the glass booth? Oh, boy, I can't go on. Oh, that's sad. That's real sad. No more WNBC. Have you noticed how all the good call letters are going away? No more WNBC. There wasn't a WNBC FM. They went away. WABC FM went away. WOR-TV gave up its three call letter identification and became WWOR. WHN became WFAN, and now they moved to where NBC used to be. I hear WMCA is thinking of changing their call letters. Why do people want to change call letters so much? I don't even know what Hot 103's call letters are. They change them so many times. It used to be WTFM or WRFM or something easy to remember like that, but no, they couldn't keep that. Anyway, this whole thing with NBC is part of a long and rather unfortunate series of events that began when General Electric bought the entire NBC network. You might recall there was quite a fuss at the time because many people were concerned that perhaps NBC News might be partial to General Electric when it came to big news stories involving big corporations. They might not lean so heavily on their owner if they were doing something bad. That was all brushed aside, though. Then General Electric began its cost-cutting by eliminating jobs, selling off radio stations, and trying to convince people to leave. The latest thing is they're trying to convince engineers of the broadcasting network to take some kind of early retirement and get a paycheck for like 3 weeks or something. In return, don't come back anymore. How can you feel proud working for something like that? So, NBC has gone down the tubes. And they canceled all my favorite shows, too. They canceled St. Elsewhere. They canceled Year in a Life. They canceled Our House. That wasn't one of my favorite shows, okay? But they did cancel a lot of good shows. And this year, they're going to lose Cosby. That's right. It's supposed to be the last year of Cosby. And I just want to know what's going to happen then. Sobering thought here. 632-6901. And that's not all. There's more to this whole radio swapping business, WEVD-FM, which many of you know as, well, it used to be the station that speaks your language. It used to have programs in all different languages, and now I believe it's mostly a Jewish station, which Jewish entertainment and ethnic programming, cultural stuff. What I had heard a couple of months ago was that they were going to move to AM and take the 1050 AM air, whatever they call those things, frequencies. They were going to take that frequency, and a Spanish station was going to move to FM, where they were. But now there's a Spanish station there, and I don't know what's going on. So if anyone has the full story, speak now, or forever hold your peace. 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Eric.
Yeah.
You cut me off twice.
I'm very sorry. There might be some kind of tone in your voice that makes me think you're
like,
a nasty person.
Well, first time, you just cut me off. Arbitrarily.
That was a mistake. The second time
I growled.
Yeah, you growled. There's no growling allowed.
Sorry. And this time I just decided, well, not growl, but please don't cut me off again. Anyway, well,
I won't cut you off as long as you stay on the subject, because we only have about 12 minutes left.
Okay. Anyway, Max Hedren, they took off, too.
No, that was ABC.
I know, but still, that was such a great program. Anyway.
That's Capital Cities. You notice everything's being bought by even bigger corporations?
Mm-hmm. You know what's fun? Oh, by the way, talking about baseball, why not just ignore it? I mean, if you don't want your life to be controlled by TV and baseball, don't go to the baseball game. Don't watch it on TV. I mean, just ignore it. I mean, is sports that important in your life that you have to be controlled by big corporation gods?
Well, you see, it's not important in my life, but I do like to see events now and then. I do like to go to parades and see, you know, Operation Sail and all these big events that, you know, you want to tell your grandkids about someday. And it's just kind of disheartening to realize that you're being manipulated because of ratings all the time. You know, not just... I mean, you know, the networks tell you what you're going to watch. It's incredible. The sensors that they go through and the screening process, they tell you what values are going to be espoused in their shows. And it's really kind of scary, the power they have. But not only that, they control your life. They tell you when you're going to show up at some place because they have to get their ratings.
You know what's interesting?
What?
Talking about big corporate gods. In the personals, in the classified ads,
uh-huh.
They have in big letters, Philip Morris USA, America's largest distributor of cancer. In big letters, with nothing else, just Philip Morris USA capitals.
I take it that's not their idea.
It just says Philip Morris USA in big letters, and on the next column it says University Hospital SUNY Stony Brook.
Aha. Uh-huh. Where's this?
This is in the personals. Page 2 of the first classified ads in Newsday today.
Well, I just happen to have a Newsday right here. So, page 2 of the classifieds.
Look, second. Go down towards the bottom. It says Philip Morris USA.
Wait a minute. I've got career opportunities and help wanted on page 2.
What do you have? New York?
I've got New York Newsday, yeah.
You're bummed. Anyway.
Well, what was it in? Personals?
Yeah, under personals.
Okay, I'm in the personal section. Who puts in these personal ads that say, have a nice day? There's three of them in a row.
There are ones that say, have a nice day.
God bless America.
Buy U.S. bonds.
There's one that just says, Con Edison. Why? I don't understand this.
You know what's really interesting?
No, wait, what was yours?
They have...
Yours was Philip Morris.
Philip Morris, USA.
I see University Hospital, SUNY Stony Brook. I do see that.
Well, the row before, towards the bottom.
Okay.
One thing, New York City Transit Authority.
I see New York City Transit Authority.
Yeah, then go down.
There's Philip Morris USA, and then underneath is popular solo synthesizer guitarist.
You know what's really interesting? Go to the first row.
Save the whales.
Okay, first row. It says, this is something to do when you want to speak to people who seem halfway interesting, when you've got nothing better to do. One of the classifieds say, body,
yeah,
mind, spirit.
Body, mind, spirit.
Who are you?
Call the Dianetics hotline.
1-800-4-TRUTH.
How about that?
You should try that. Call that like on the next show.
Hey, there's people here that want playoff tickets. I could have sold my playoff tickets through here. Incredible. Oh, well, you never know until it's
too late.
Can I
hang up on me now, right?
What's that? Well, I've got to go to some other calls, but thanks for enlightening me about this. Yeah, go ahead.
I think that this is going to get you really mad, but I think that your show is double plus good.
Oh, that gets me really upset. It's Newspeak. Oh, thanks for calling, though. Newspeak. This is WUSB. If USB stood for something, technically it could stand for University at Stony Brook. We wouldn't say USB. We'd stretch it out so that we wouldn't be accused of being Orwellian. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Why Emmanuel Goldstein?
Why indeed? Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello. I called you a week ago telling you about Chris Crowley, that he was up to no good.
Chris Crowley's up to no good.
Wait. Cars, yeah.
Chris Crowley is lurking about, so talk quietly now. What's he up to?
I told you that he had a still in the basement of the student union.
That's right. And we are investigating.
The student union.
We are investigating this.
It's true. I'm telling you.
I can't say either way it's true, but we do take all of these reports very seriously when we get them, and we appreciate people calling and telling us what our other staff people are up to.
Well, and you should go check after, when you get off there, go down by those lockers near that arcade there, near the bowling alley.
Yeah, yeah.
Go past there.
Uh-huh.
All the way down.
Yeah.
And make a left. And there's a door. And it's Not marked. It's a brown door.
Uh-huh.
And it's right in there. It says Chris Crowley, Georgia Corn Whiskey, and a whole bunch of drugs all across the wall. And there's a...
You know, that would be all the proof we need.
And what?
That would be all the evidence that we need.
And, yeah, go down there with the camera, because it's true.
I want to thank you, because I've had my eye on his air slot for a while now.
Yeah,
and
this
could do it.
Have you heard anything about that 3-hour marathon of funeral marches? It was supposed to take place this week, but...
Refresh my memory. I remember you said something about that.
I was supposed to...
Don't talk about Chris anymore. I just walked in the door. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Guy, it's so annoying.
What guy? There's no guy here.
You're on the radio with. He calls up my show all the time and annoys me.
What are you talking about?
This little munchkin.
I don't know what you're talking about, Chris. We're just chatting here. I'm telling a story. Uh-huh. Anyway, we're here in WUSB in our fine studios where it's 0 degrees Celsius outside. And thank you very much for calling, sir. no, really, we're not up to anything at all.
What's this about me and drugs?
There's nothing, nothing... Let's go to the other call. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you, buddy?
I was listening to you talk about NBC.
Yeah, do you have...
I have several questions. I'm the guy with the answers.
Oh, great.
The questions, I've got the answers. First of all, you said many things that were incorrect.
Then correct me on all of them, please.
Okay, first of all, the Museum of Broadcasting has no radio in it, or virtually, a little bit, but hardly any. It's all television. The
uh-huh.
new building... will have some radio in it, but it really has slighted radio to the point of being sickening.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, a lot of people have slighted radio, too, and I think maybe if we were more vocal about it, they would devote more time and space to radio because there's so much from the radio days that's interesting.
Right, but it's not at the Museum of Broadcasting.
But it's not anywhere else either, you know.
Second thing, WYNY is on the 9th floor at NBC, so and that newspaper thing you read about them moving equipment out of there
uh-huh.
could not have been YNY equipment.
Interesting. Well, they got that wrong then. I wonder why.
Sure did. And the thing about GE selling radio,
uh-huh.
the newspapers have missed this completely. The problem there is that the Federal Communications Commission doesn't allow radio and television to be owned by the same company in the same city, except for those that were grandfathered before that rule came into play. So GE, when they bought NBC, decided to keep the television, which meant they had to sell a radio.
Well, don't they buy into the grandfather clause?
No.
You can't do that, then.
You're not. The same fate may lie in store for WABC and WWPR.
That was my next question, because Capital Cities bought ABC.
That's right. And the FCC is considering changing that rule, but GE decided rather than wait around for that, they just get rid of the radio stations. That was what they said was the real reason for selling them off.
Well, they've also been very adamant about raising money and saving money.
True. And because NBC ran radio so poorly, they were not money-making radio stations.
Uh-huh.
So it's a shame that WNBC is gone, but let's face it, as you said, it was a pretty bad radio station.
Yeah, I was just kind of sad to see something that was around for so long go.
Yeah. Now, about that AM station, the Spanish station,
yeah.
What's going to happen there on the 21st? That FM, the Spanish station on the AM dial is going to switch to the FM, and the FM station is going to switch to the AM.
I see. So that's how it's going to work.
The WEVD is going to take over 1050, and the Spanish station you're hearing will become, will go to 97.9.
Isn't it kind of silly to start broadcasting on a frequency and get a following and then move less than a month
later?
Well,
maybe, I don't know what kind of a following you'll get. They're probably just doing a practice run.
Uh-huh.
First time this area will have an FM Spanish station.
I think that's great because, I mean, look at how many people speak Spanish in New York. There should be a Spanish station.
Well, maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Are they connected to the people that run 620 AM?
Right, owned station? By the same company.
Yeah.
Now, that's an unusual situation because when was the last time you knew of the same company operating two radio stations in the same city?
That's, well,
and
the other one is Newark, New Jersey, I believe.
Yeah, but it's the other station is located in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
They're not very far apart from each other.
Uh-huh.
So aren't you glad I called with all these answers?
I certainly am, because it's been, the newspapers have not gotten it straight, and I think it's the most incredible switch of call letters and frequencies I've ever seen. And I'm sure it's confused
everybody.
Well,
it's because the business is going crazy. And they're saying that a lot of people in the business, and as you hit on it before, this business is owned by financial people, by investors, by bean counters, and by salesmen, and the art of broadcasting is gone. You had a situation on Long Island in Freeport, little WGBB, right?
Yeah.
64 years. That one was there for 64 years, and it was driven into the ground by a big broadcasting company from San Diego, California, which none of the press reported on here when they talked about poor little WGBB going out of business. Nobody said that Noble Broadcasting from San Diego came in and bought WBAB-FM and WGBB and put a format on WGBB that was absolutely absurd, a news talk format, which is the most expensive thing in the world to do.
Well, WGBB has a lousy signal. I can't even get them
out
here.
Yeah, of course. Oh. And to put an expensive format on a station like that and try to get anything out of it, especially when it's overshadowed by the best in the country from New York City, and Nassau County is a place where a lot of people are New Yorkers anyway.
Uh-huh.
And then do a horrible job with it as they did. What did they expect to get? But a bath of red ink, and then they just gave up on it.
Well, now, did WGBB go out of business completely?
Well, it became WBAB AM.
Uh-huh. Now, isn't that the second radio station to be WBAB AM?
Hmm?
Wasn't there another WBAB AM years ago?
There was, yeah, sure. That's in Babylon, it's now WNYG.
Uh-huh.
And there was, that's right, it was. But now it's WBAB in Freeport and WBAB-FM in Babylon. So
it can get very confusing, can't it?
It is confusing, but it's a shame because that radio station was there for longer than WNBC, 64 years right out here on Long Island. It's incredible, and now it's gone. And that's because a big company from San Diego, 3,000 miles away, didn't know what they bought. So that's kind of sad. I think that's even sadder than WNBC.
And that wasn't even in the papers.
That was in the papers, sure. It was probably in the Nassau edition of Newsday, so you didn't see it out here.
Probably didn't make the New
Nobody
York Times.
Nobody cares about these things anyway. Anybody who's listening to you right now, I'm sure you could see if you talked about that. Nobody responded to it. You had a bunch of calls after that about other things, right?
I guess radio,
nobody really cares.
Radio is all dried out or something. But let me just ask you one last question before we sign off tonight. Now that WNBC is gone, there is no NBC outlet in New York, correct?
That's correct.
Does that mean the NBC radio network is folding too?
Well, they already sold that. That's owned by Westwood One now.
Oh, that's owned by Westwood One.
Right. Which is at 1700 Broadway, incidentally, which is where WYNY is moving because they also bought WYNY. But it's still identified as the NBC radio network, you may have noticed.
Okay.
It is no longer owned by NBC. When Westwood One bought it, they bought the name. That's all. So there is no more NBC radio network, and there is no more NBC radio except for they still own a station in San Francisco.
No, is there NBC News on the hour anymore?
Sure.
Oh, there is. Okay.
It is, but it's not NBC News. It's Mutual News with an NBC tag on it.
Oh, boy. How do they do that?
I wish you the stupidity of NBC because if I were NBC, I certainly wouldn't sell my name to Mutual or anybody for that matter. How do they do it?
Well, how do they tie the two together?
GE sold the NBC radio network to Westwood One, which is a company that owns the Mutual Broadcast System plus Westwood One. Now they own the NBC radio network.
So how
of course, Westwood One wouldn't buy it without the name NBC.
How do they identify themselves when they give the news?
Just as I said, NBC radio network. They identify it that way all the time. It's not NBC, it's NBC radio network. I guess to differentiate it between television.
Do they say Mutual News?
Yeah. Well, but that Mutual that's different. When they bought the name NBC, they bought the name NBC Radio Network, and that's the name they use. And another thing that nobody reported on was the fact that the NBC Radio Network, which had been at 660 on the dial since 1926, is not there anymore.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where it is, but it ain't on 660 anymore. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Anybody care about that either? Probably not.
You know, I always thought there should be some kind of a magazine devoted to radio in the New York area, and I think somebody tried it once, and it didn't work. But there's so many different things going on the radio, you know. I was looking around, listening to all those stations that people don't really talk about that much, and there's some good stuff on there.
There is. But most people, when they listen to the radio, for example, I've never heard your station before.
I'm just tuning around on the dial tonight, and I heard this guy, you talking. I said, well, this is interesting. I'll,
where are you calling from?
But and I'm sure most people don't even do that.
Well, yeah, a lot of people just pass by, and they stay for 3 minutes, and they go somewhere else.
That's right.
Never hear from them again. What town are you calling from, sir?
From Hopog.
Hopog. Well, it's time.
Obviously, I have something to do with the business.
Yeah.
I know so much about it. But even people in the business don't know anything about it.
Uh-huh.
You'd be surprised. That guy was amused by that guy that you were talking to at HBO. I thought, boy, I wonder if his... This is a television network that this guy is operating, and he's on the phone on a talk show on a radio station. What would happen if something went wrong with HBO at that time?
Well, you see, he didn't call us. Someone called him and connected us.
He should have engaged in a conversation at that point if his responsibility was what was on the air. I mean, how could he do both things at the same time? But we heard his attitude. He said, well, nothing's happening here for the next hour and 36 minutes or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Which I thought was pretty amazing.
Nothing is happening.
That would be to sit there and look at the video at least to make sure that it was okay.
You could probably do that and talk on the phone.
Well, it is today.
Yeah. Anyway, we have to go, but thanks very much for calling and enlightening us.
I'll be listening to your show maybe next week. Maybe I'll call you again.
Okay.
You never know.
It'll be good to hear from you.
Bye.
Take care. We're going to keep it simple, folks. We're not being bought out by any mega corporations. We're not switching our frequencies or our call letters or anything like that. We're WUSB, Stony Brook, from the State University of New York at Stony Brook. And we're run by a bunch of crazy people that are running around loose for some reason. And we'll just see how long we can keep things going without completely cracking up. I'll be back again next week, or maybe the week after. I'm not sure if I'll be here next week, but there'll be brain damage in this time slot. You can rest assured of that. Stay tuned for The Brothers with a few hours of lobotomy and all kinds of other fun things coming out throughout the night. I'm Eric Corley. See you again whenever. Good night.
Throw away the key. Someone in my head. But it's not me.
this is Pete with the Concert Billboard for Sunday, October 9th. Tonight, the Impact Tour featuring the world's top skateboarders, bicyclists, and roller skaters will be at the Nassau Coliseum. The Kronos Quartet will be at the Intermeter...